Blog Talk Radio.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBoss with Bobby Chulo.
Randy Orton, you absolutely suck. I'm sorry. I don't know. Real quick for the people listening, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss with Bobby Chulo back on Tuesday night. I got my man Michael Parks with me over here. Real quick before we continue, Michael Parks, first of all, it's good to see you. It was good to see you come down to the show the other day. But, dude, we talked a little bit, but very lightly we talked about this when we were at the Mayday show over there at Del O's. How can they even compare? Because the big talk is Randy Orton and Kenny Omega, they're saying, are the two best in the world. How is Randy Orton even in that conversation? Can you explain that to me? Who? And it was a JR? Was it JR that said that?
No, it couldn't have been.
Yeah, I think dude, his Alzheimer's must be creeping up or something, because that dude, real quick, we'll talk about that real quick. I catch a little bit of heat about Rand. I think he's horrible. I don't get it. He's generic. He's vanilla as it comes. He has no skill set. He doesn't know how to work the crowd. His moves are horrible. They throw in people to beat him up, you know, constantly, or for him to beat up constantly. So I don't get it. I just don't, and I don't like him. I'm sorry. I think I hated the fact that they used Andrade and those guys for him to beat up when they have more talent than that guy's ever going to have in his life. Okay, so I had to get that out real quick, but. For the people listening, once again, you're here, WrestleBoss with Bobby Chulo. I got Jimmy from Jimmy's World Order coming up. It's funny because I called him at the last minute because I wanted to make sure I got him in here, because I keep up with them, and they get quite a few people, you know, down there to come and sign. We're talking before we went on air, Michael Parks and I, they got X-Pac coming. They got Darby Allin. They had they were supposed to have New Jack, and then they were – you know, after New Jack passed away, they ended up having Mustafa and one of the Pit Bulls up there or whatever. So they get some pretty good people up there, you know. So it's pretty cool. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and we'll talk a little bit about, you know, they wanted me to come down, you know, do some stuff with the crowd while people are waiting. But we, as I was talking to Michael Parks at the show Sunday, we said, hey, man, we should just take the show up there. We can do some giveaways. We could play some Chop Trivia. We could do a whole bunch. Because, you know, Mike, back in the day when I was working for On the Mat, this is Scotty Nelson's smartness or whatever to the business. He, the first big show that we did for him signing, it was like Anderson Silva and Uriah Faber and Dan Henderson and all kinds of fighters that were up there. So the line was all the way out the door and went all the way out around the corner. So he said, hey, bring the radio show. And then he brought out the big speaker and plugged it into Sergio's mixer. So while the people were in line, instead of just standing there, they were able to hear the show. So we had, while they were waiting to do their signings or whatever, we would get them and have them on the air talking while they were signing or before they were signing, so that the people had something to listen to while they were in line. And it was freaking genius, you know, and all that ended up working out. So that's what we're talking about doing with Jimmy's World Order. So we could, you know, the people who are in line waiting, they have something just, you see everybody on their phones, and there's only so much you can look at on your phone. So it's pretty cool to get some stuff. Plus Chop Trivia, get some stuff away. People go, dude, let me give you an example, Michael Parks. One of these guys, you know, Delo has a porta potty outside, and then he has an inside bathroom. And, you know, I'm an old man, so I want to make sure I use the restroom before they open the doors, because I don't want to be walking through the crowd and all that. So a girl cut me off right when I said, God darn it. So one of the guys that was with her, he said, hey, man, I know you got to do your show, and I know you're getting ready. He goes, dude, go ahead of me. No problem. We're like, all right, thanks. Cool, man. So I went ahead. It was real cool. So I went back, and Jessica was upstairs, Nicolette, And I said, hey, do you have any shirts or whatever? She's like, yeah. So she gave me a shirt. And she gave me a, you know, a face cover that had one of them had high risk and the other one, I can't remember what it had on it. So I found him out and I said, hey, bro, you know, here's a shirt. Dude, you would have thought I gave him $1,000. He was like, oh, bro, thanks, bro. He goes, hey, man, no. I said, I appreciate you letting me go in front of you, know, so that I didn't have to wait while the crowd was all walking in. He said, no, 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 anytime, bro. So you can give away a pen that says WrestleBoss and people are happy just because they, you know, they get something for free. So we're going to talk about working that out there. So got Jimmy coming up at about the 7:30 mark. We'll talk to him a little bit about that. Talk to him about signings. I don't know about you, Mike, but I'm interested to know kind of the backstory or whatever. Do you call these guys or do you have to call their agent and say, hey, look, man, you know, we would like you to come down and sign and, or how all that comes about or whatever. So before we get into that, before I start talking about how horrible Randy Orton is, who there's very few people that I would actually stand in line to go see. One of them, of course, Ric Flair. I would stand in line. But the thing is, if Ric Flair's signing for 2 hours, unless you get there at 5 a.m. or something, you know, he might sign for 2 hours and be gone, you know, and you might still be back at the end of the line or whatever. So I would definitely, if I was sure that I was going to get something signed, I would definitely stand in line for him. And the only other one is probably Marty Scurll. I mean, I think that guy's a freaking genius. I think he's awesome. So those are probably the only two that I would actually take the time and go. Now, Mike and I went to go see Mecha Wolf and Bestia and Damien and all that, but that was kind of business related because we were working on establishing a relationship so that we can bring them down to do some shows and stuff. So what about yourself, Mike? Is there anybody that you would actually stand in line for to get a signing or whatever?
Are we talking now or are we talking like legends?
Anyone, legends, dead, alive, Steve, Dr. Jeff Williams, Terry Gordy.
I would stand in line for Okada and Tanahashi. Because they're in Japan, so it's not like you're going to always have the opportunity to get Flair, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Arn Anderson.
Let me ask you this question, because this is what I would like to do. I don't know if you saw it was on my wall. You see Andrade was suplexing Ric Flair into the pool?
Yeah, I did.
Let's put it this way. I am by no means in any way a rich man, but I would be willing to go 50-50 with Michael Parks. I would put up $2,500 if he would put up $2,500. So for $5,000, if we could say, Ric Flair, since you're in town, we would like to drive you from here to San Diego. Let's say as a signing in San Diego. We'll pick you up at LAX, and we'll drive you to San Diego just for that two-hour ride to listen to the stories and talk. And he's like a captive audience for 2 hours. Would you be down for something like that?
Yeah.
$2,500, yeah. Is that in your ballpark?
Do you know what we could learn from that man? I mean, it's just, I'm not talking about the drinking. I'm just talking about talking about wrestling, you know, the psychology of it and, you know, all of that. But it, I don't know, man, that would be crazy.
I'm laughing because I hate driving and I hate traffic. And I hate but let me tell you something. That would be the longest drive in history. We would get lost. You know, we would end up taking, you know, I think it turns into the 8 freeway or whatever. We would end up taking that out to Pacific Beach. Oh, shit, we took a wrong turn and come back. You know what I mean? Dude, it took us 3 hours to get here. But I would just be so wanting to keep him in the car or whatever that I would take him. You know what I mean? And, dude, we would just have a nice chest of beer. And, you know, I think he chews Skull or whatever and just have some Skull and just kick it, you know, and you know, hey, man, let's stop and get some hard stuff. Or dude, pull over. Let's do it. You know, whatever he wants, man. Whatever, steakhouse, whatever, man. I mean, just to hang with him for a while. But talking about Okada and all them, when they were here the first time, when they came the first time to the Long Beach State at the Pyramid, I was on the computer. I got home. I was working and stuff, and then I got home. And when I jumped on the computer, they had all got here. Okada, Tanahashi, and Tomohiro Ishii. And they all went to the In-N-Out right here on by the PCH and 2nd Street, which is, what, 5 minutes, 10 minutes from where we live in Long Beach. And I'm like, oh, my God, they went to In-N-Out. I wanted to go. I'm like, I'm going to jump in the car and I'm going to go. But they had went like an hour before or whatever. I said, by the time I get down there, they'll be gone. But, dude, I would have bought you burgers, shakes, whatever you want or whatever, because just to kick it with them for a while. But then you go down there and go, well, we don't speak no English or no Spanish, so I'm sorry, bro, or whatever. But I think Okada's pretty good. So we'd be able to, you know, sit with him. And I'm like, hey, I would be like, hey, you guys want some coffee too? There's a coffee shop right here, whatever. You know, take you to there or whatever. But they just went. I don't know who took them, but it was just them that went to In-N-Out. I guess that's a big thing, you know, Japanese, when they come to United States or they want to go to In, right?
Yeah. You know who I did the first time in New Japan came to the convention center? That was the first time they came. And so I'm standing over there with my buddy, and G.O.D. just walks out. Mm-hmm. So my boy's like, oh, my God, it's Tama Tonga in there. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I just strolled over there and was like, hey, what's up, guys? He's like, how you doing, bro? And I'm like, man, thank you guys for coming out here. And they were like, no, man. Thank you for coming to the show. I mean, they were so humble, dude. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I'm like, you know.
Didn't you go see, was it XPW at the Olympic or something when Rhino was walking across to get hamburgers at Burger King or something?
No, I went to, it was the ECW pay-per-view at the Olympic.
Yeah.
And I just got off work and took the train down there. And was like, dude, I'm hungry. So I went to Burger King.
Uh-huh.
So I walk into Burger King, and who's sitting there but Micho Kikoshi's.
Uh-huh.
So I walk in, and I get in line, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. And I just start laughing. And I walk up to him, and I go, bro, you remember me? And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, you wrestled for me, you know, at Zeki Picano in Compton. He's like, oh, yeah. He goes, get your phone. Come sit down.
did he go, I remember the big black man that took me up the stairs, carried me up the stairs when I hurt my leg. Dude, nothing for nothing, Mike. Yeah. That was the fastest I've ever – I didn't know you could move that fast, dude. He took the spill and you scooped him up, it was like Walter Payton. I mean, you scooped him up and went up the stairs so fast. I was, like, going back and forth with Rey Mysterio Sr., but I remember sequencing, and in my mind, I go, God dang, he's gone, dude. I mean, that was, like, the fastest thing I've ever – you remember that? You remember that night?
I vaguely remember picking him up.
I think Nietzsche thought the same thing too. I went, shit, what happened? Next thing you knew, he was upstairs behind the blue tarp. It was so fast. Go ahead. I
remember, you know, being upstairs and sitting there talking to Miguel, the Mysterio Sr.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was – we watched them on Galaxy Zone. We watched them every Sunday. Here they are.
Yeah,
you know, wrestling for us, and for the people that don't know, at the time, Psicosis was under contract with WCW.
Yeah, so was Damien.
So was Damien, and they weren't supposed to be doing spot shows like this.
Yeah, all that was through James Macias. He was able to get them for us, and that's when I talk about establishing a relationship. That's what I'm talking about. James was real good about, you know, because hotels are cool or whatever, but, dude, James had a nice house, and he would make barbecue or mojarra and really take care of the wrestlers, you know, and take them out to breakfast in the morning or whatever. So they really enjoyed going over there. So when, you know, we said, hey, can you call them and see if maybe they can come down? even though they were still under contract with WCW. Absolutely, man, no problem, dude. So, you know, that's how we were able to get them over. And then, and it was, you know, not just because it's Mike and he did it, and that was one, like, he put all his efforts to it. That was one of the most fun shows that I've ever had. I mean, we had not only that, I mean, it wasn't even about making money or whatever, but we just had fun, right?
Yeah, it was a blast, man. It really was. It was exciting because, you know, that was the first show we ever put on.
Right.
We were new to it, and the fact that it was such a success. And remember the old guy that did security at Zecchi Ticano?
Yeah.
He came up to me at intermission, and he goes, "This is the best wrestling show that's ever been here. This is the most professionally run show that's ever been here." And I was, you know, I was just thinking, you know, I was very, very, you know, appreciative of that, because that's what we try to do is put on a show, a professional show that, one, the fans enjoy, but two, you know, was a professional enough to have the want the guys to come back and work for you, you know, and remember. So it's like, cause it's crazy. I was sitting at work thinking about that today. Like, I'm not gonna bring up too much of it. Anyway, you got to take care of the guys, because if you don't, they're not gonna come. They're not gonna want to work with you.
Right,
you know, they're gonna treat you like shit. Excuse
yeah.
my French, but it's just the honest to God truth. So
yeah, I agree 100%. Real quick, Mike, I got to take the big break. So hang on, I want to come back. We'll talk a little bit more about that and talk a little bit more about this whole Randy Orton discussion. But I got to get this in real quick. So hang on, real quick. We'll be right back after this. Hang on, everybody.
Hey everyone, it's Denise Salcedo here in Lucha Central Central with a reminder of where and when to catch your favorite shows each week, or when to try a new one. Monday, the Business of the Business podcast is back as Master Public President Kevin Kleinrock talks with Headlock comic writer and creator Michael Kingston about his latest edition, Tales from the Road 2, and working with superstars including Jerry Lawler, Shane Helms, RVD, Pentagon Jr., Taya Valkyrie, and more as the book enters its final week on Kickstarter. Tuesdays, it's the Lucha Underground-centered show, Mass, and Mayhem. Check out the premiere video stream every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Lucha Central YouTube channel and at theluchacentral.com. Then listen to it on your favorite podcast platform every Wednesday. Also on Tuesdays, WrestleBoss with Bobby Chulo, live, covering pro wrestling and MMA from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Pacific. Head to WrestleBossLive.com to listen live and even call in or download it Wednesday across podcast platforms. Wednesday nights, live on Facebook, it's Spanish show La Mesa de los Margaros, giving you both the news and the chisme from around the lucha world. Find the video version on Facebook Wednesday through Friday, and then Saturdays, download the audio version in podcast form. This week, Triple A referee Piero takes a seat at the table, and the crew talk about the controversy of luchadores and revenues from digital content, as well as the growth of luchadores as YouTubers and influencers. Thursdays, it's Straight Out of the Bodega with Papo Esco and PWR promoter Gabriel Ramirez. This week, Ricardo Rodriguez pulls up to the show, and the trio talk about his start in SoCal, signing with the WWE, and being the personal ring announcer for Alberto Del Rio, heading to India to be the head trainer at the Great Khali School, and more. On Friday, it's your double dose of Lucha Central Weekly podcast, one in English y el otro en español. Lucha Central Weekly is where you'll find all the top stories of the week, both inside and outside of the ring from Mexico and anywhere luchadores are in action across the globe. This week, both shows take a look back at the past weekend, including Mexico streaming shows from DTU and Mas Lucha's women's tournament, plus all of the Lucha-related matches on WWE Extreme Rules, Impact Wrestling Slammiversary, and AEW Dynamite. Plus, LC Weekly in Español looks at the greatest hair versus hair matches of all time and whose hair may be the most valuable in a match today. Be sure to subscribe and follow all of your favorite Lucha Central Network series on your favorite podcast platforms. And please be sure to give a rating and review to help more fans find the shows that you love. For now, this is Denise Salcedo signing off from Lucha Central Central. Have a great week.
You know, it's funny because on that commercial, they're talking about Ricardo Rodriguez. Remember, he used to be the personal announcer for Alberto Del Rio and all that. Well, that kid used to train at Del O's when I was teaching over there. So, well, you know, we would train and stuff like that, and then we would do these little shows, kind of like like just small shows so they can work in front of an audience and all that. So you know how it is, Mike. I was like, look, bro, this crowd is going to pop for a hip toss or whatever. Just, you know, get your basics and wrestle a little bit, blah, 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 then do this, do that or whatever. Okay. I turn around and this dude is flying out of the ring. He did a maroma over the top rope, and I don't know who was supposed to catch him, but missed him completely. And did a full flat back on the – luckily, it was like a gym floor. It wasn't so much a hard cement floor or whatever. And I'm like, what is he doing? So when the match is over, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? I go, you didn't have to do – he goes, nah, man, I got to get the crowd going, and I got to – and I'm like, dude, this is just a small spot show just to work in front of an audience. When you get the WWE call, when Vince calls you and goes, look, bro, I'm going to give you a tryout, then you do the flips, thinking that he was ever going to get that call. Whatever. So I was like – back then I was like, dude, you take it easy or whatever. But I don't know if that's what paid off for him or whatever. But I remember that day clear because you're supposed to – everything was supposed to go through me, you know, like what you were going to do. And I would have never said, yeah, do a flip. And if the guy misses you, flat back on the gym floor or whatever. But he did it, and he ended up doing well. So, you know, props to him or whatever. But what sucks is I called him to come and do my show, and he told me he was busy. But on this commercial, for some reason, I don't know, he's doing La Mesa de los Margaros or whatever. So maybe he doesn't want me to tell that story. I don't know. That's probably what's going on. But anyways, for the people, listeners, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss with Fabi Chulo talking to Michael Parks. We're talking about because, you know, when he did his show, and that's kind of like what we like to talk about because it's so, you know, it's so hard to do a show. People just see the finished product, and it's just so much that goes into it and everything. And Mike went to the show on Sunday over there, May Day, that was over at De La O's for RJ Productions. We're going to talk a little bit about that because, you know, it was a good show. Some things were cool. Some things, you know, didn't kind of, you know, work out the way we wanted them to or whatever. So we'll talk a little bit about that when we get probably about the 7:45 minute mark or whatever. But that being said, okay, because Mike and I talk a lot. He's working on his company, getting it back into the swing of things, but it's been so hard. It's easily been over a year that we've been working, trying to get some stuff together so he could do his show. So we talked a little bit about bringing a certain person or whatever that would really draw, and me opening my big mouth, somebody already did it or whatever. So now I'm thinking, well who is going to be the draw? Who can we bring that's going to draw, that people are going to go, oh, snap, I'm going? So to me, I was thinking maybe Bandido. I mean, if you could bring Bandido and Flamita and Rey Horus, dude, I think that would, you know, everybody would want to come and see that. So that's the only, like, the ones that I could think of right now, because a lot of them already been out. But what about yourself, Mike?
I still want to bring Mechawolf.
And Mechawolf and Bestia?
Yes.
You know,
see if we can, again, get Superboy Sons and make this a tag team.
Yeah, it's funny because Nicolette and I were talking about that when I go, man, if we bring Mechawolf and Bestia, I go, I would like to put them against Mustache Mountain. She goes, okay, first of all, how much do you think it's going to cost to fly these dudes from Great Britain over here? And
yeah.
I said, hey, we're talking about Michael Parks, all right? This is Deep Pockets Mike. We don't have to worry about that. And then she said, okay, snap back into reality And I said, well, of course, Superboy's sons, that would put on a show. I said, but maybe somebody like Phoenix Star and Zokri, you know, because they put on a hell of a show at the Lucha Expo or whatever. So the possibilities are endless. We got talent out here. So to bring those guys and put them, I think you would have something there. So that's what we're working on. If we could bring them down. I mean, those guys are on a high right now. Mecca, I don't know what happened to Mecca. Well, maybe when you have a daughter, it changes your mindset. He's freaking huge now. I mean, that dude's been hitting the gym. He's huge. You know, he's getting work all over the place. But when it comes to work and working all over the place, and this person is probably home, I would say maybe 3 weeks total out of the year, is Mascarita. Mascarita Sagrada is everywhere, dude. I mean, that dude just goes from, he'll start in California and just work all the way up into the East Coast and come all the way back. That dude gets work like nobody I've seen. And to me, and I think Michael Parks can vouch for this, totally 100% worth it. I mean, when we went to Leonardo's or whatever that was to see that show, and I think if we would bring him and Demus, maybe, or whatever, I think man, that would put on a show. What do you think?
Yeah.
I would say Demus is very underrated. Don't you agree?
Yeah, he is. But you know who I would like to see in there with better competition is that Jack Cutwell.
Yeah. He's good, man. He's good.
He is. I mean, it's like, and he's got to get a better shot. See, let me stop talking. Let me be quiet because I don't want to disrespect.
I think he did one of the LA Dojo shows for New Japan. You know, their New Japan Dojo out there. I know he did a show there. I can't remember if he did a tag match or if he was in like some sort of tournament or whatever, but he looked really good and they liked him, but I don't know if they're still deciding what they're going to do as far as like, are they going to have shows in LA at the LA Dojo, keep going that, or are they going to start sending him back out to Japan or whatever, but I think he's going to be in that mix or whatever. So I think it's just a matter of time till he's out there with them or whatever, because they put him with like Adrian Quest and Rocky Romero and people like that, and he could, man, that dude can go, man. It's funny because he's got that, you could tell he's a gymnast. He's got that gymnast physique. You know, he's real short and stocky, but man, that dude can do some amazing stuff. And he's like a rock. I told you, I barely caught a piece of him when they made the mistake of booking him against me at the Richard Garcia show. Because I'm not Michael Parks. I can't run up the stairs that fast, but I can't slide over that quick. So when he came, I tried to slide over, but luckily there was two more people beside me. I think even Jessica caught a piece of him or whatever, because it was all like four of us. But I just caught the back end of his like his boot and his leg, and it felt like a rock, like a big piece of boulder or whatever, because he's very like deceptively like heavy. You know what I mean? Not super heavy, but like rock heavy or whatever. But anyways, I think we put him in the mix, man. I would put him and somebody against Mustache Mountain in a minute. I mean, I think that would really kick it off. But see, this is why I can't start talking, okay, Mike, because then I get behind and then I can't get the guest in here. So let me take another quick break. Let's get in Jimmy from Jimmy's World Order. We'll talk a little bit about that, about signings, and then we'll continue on and talk about getting some people down here for the big show. So hang on a minute. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with Jimmy from Jimmy's World Order. Hang on.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world, from weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to lucha-masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha Legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
Let me do a quick public service announcement real quick. Okay, hang on, everybody. Kevin Kleinrock, yo, what's up, man? It's me, Favi. Even though you're making good money and they're completely, totally sold out most of the time, hook us up with some of those lucha masks. I'll take a Rey Fénix, and Michael Parks will take Penta. All right, there you go. Anyways, want to get that in there because, dude, those things sell, man. I mean, they don't mess around or whatever. So check out luchamask.com. Go on the website. Check it out. I think they're, like, as soon as they can get them made and put out, I think they're pretty much sold out when they get them there. So make sure you check that out so you can get one. And then, Kevin, save one for us because we would like to check that out. We'll wear them. Right, Mike? I mean, wherever we go, yep. We'll wear them. That's for sure, yep. Right? All right, Kevin.
Yes.
So, all right. So, real quick for the people listening, you're back here on WrestleBoss. I got Michael Parks with me talking a little bit about doing some shows and bringing some people down and stuff like that. So, we're going to continue on that. But let me get Jimmy from Jimmy's World Order in here because that's a whole other entity that I haven't been able to explore and explain to get these guys down here or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Hello?
Hey, Jimmy, it's Fabiano. You're live on WrestleBoss. Can you hear me, my friend?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Ah, it's beautiful. Real quick for the people, listeners, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss with Fabi Chulo. Don't forget, we're back on Tuesday nights, so make sure you check us out live from 7 to, we usually go till about 8:15 or whatever, so make sure you check us out back on Tuesdays. We tried doing Fridays for a little while, but so many, now that the pandemic is basically over, so many people are going back to training and doing shows and stuff. We had to move it back to Tuesdays, which is good because we're able to get people like Jimmy from Jimmy World Order on here so that way we can get him on and talk a little bit about that. So real quick, Jimmy, before we continue, I got my man. I've known Michael Parks for over 20 years, and we've done seen and heard it all. We've been everywhere. We've seen every show. We've checked out everything from the independents to New Japan or whatever. Real quick, Michael Parks, say hello to my man, Jimmy.
How you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Now, Jimmy, were you?
I'm good.
You were actually at the show this Sunday, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so did you see towards the end when Drew Masters was chasing me with a chair, and I ran behind a big, real big black man? That's Michael Parks.
Yes. So okay.
Now you know who we're talking about. He's been forever, man, doing all kinds of stuff like that. So, and the thing is, you know, we talk all the time, but I didn't know he was coming till about maybe a half hour before the show even started or whatever. So it was pretty cool.
No.
So, real quick, Jimmy, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? It just amazes me how, you know, you're able to open up a shop and get these guys to come down and sign, because I've been doing radio for years, you know, now podcasts. I mean, we're talking close to 17 years. Now, when I worked with Tap Out, I never had a problem. I mean, people were calling me, hey, bro, can we get this fighter on and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, because they were the pinnacle. Then when I went to Sinister, it was a little bit harder. When I went to On the Mat, it was really hard because people were like, oh, you know, I got to make sure I get this exposure, blah, 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 whatever. Now, tell me a little bit about that, because you got some good people coming down there. I mean, you got X-Pac getting ready to come down. Darby Allin is like on fire right now. So is it just your boyish good looks, or is it your charm or whatever? Tell us how you're able to procure these people.
Well, basically, I just try to get the wrestlers and stuff that people want to come see. You know, yeah. I'm a fan myself, so I want to bring in people that people want to come see as myself too. You know, so I kind of try to pick, you know, the right ones that, you know, are gonna be good for, you know, for everybody to come see, that we're gonna have a packed house, and just, you know, overall, you know, I don't overthink stuff, but I try to organize myself and try to make sure that we're getting the right people at the right time. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it's just about, you know, seeing all that.
And you say that, but, you know, you had New Jack all ready to go. And, you know, he passed away. So you had to be like, oh, my goodness, you know, I had it booked or whatever. So did you have Mustafa and them in your back pocket, or were they just ready to come already? How'd all that work out?
You know what? No. With my guy that gets me the wrestlers, he's in New York.
Uh-huh.
So I was, like, booked, like, between, like, maybe an hour or two after I heard that New Jack had died, because I was I was already about to cancel, and you know, with I've never canceled anything, so
yeah.
I was like, okay, so what do we? Yeah, so what do we do? You know, like I don't want to be mean here as the show goes on. So I was like, well, you know, what should we do? You know, so we had I have a group of people. We have a good team that I work with, and you know, we just decided, you know what. When Mustafa was, you know, brought to me, I was like, okay, you know, we could do a tribute, you know, we could do a tribute show. And, you know, that's what we did, and, you know, it was pretty good.
And you brought the other Pitbull number one, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, let me give you a quick story, okay? Because I actually was on a show with both the Pitbulls, and they were so cool. It was myself, Bronx Bomber, and there was the two Pitbulls, and there was another kid from New York. I can't remember his name that used to work. God dang it. I can't remember his name, but he was really good. This is, dude, we're talking 2003, maybe? I can't remember for sure. But we were flying to Visalia. So, you know, you have to take those little egg beater planes that take you because it's only like a 53-minute whatever. So you got these big old dudes, man, in this plane, and they were scared to death because it sounded like you know, like because you could hear everything or whatever. So they were like, "Oh, bro, I hope we don't crash." Okay, so we kind of got kind of bonded, and it was pretty cool. So we get to the venue, okay, and this was the card. Michael Parks. It was a show for BJ Darden, so that'll tell you what's happening right there.
Oh no!
So
we
get to nice place. It was in Visalia, California. The convention center was right next to the hotel, so you could just walk over there. It was really cool. And they had everybody on that show. I was supposed to wrestle Rikishi, and Rikishi couldn't make it, so they sent Eddie Fatu. And I knew who Eddie Fatu was, but I didn't know that he was eventually going to be Umaga or whatever. And let me tell you something.
Oh, wow.
That dude handled me like I was a little kid. And I'm back then I was like 260, 270 or whatever. So that's a story for another day. But here's what I'm getting at. This was the match. It was the Pitbulls, the Head Shrinkers, which was Samu and Fatu, and it was Jim Neidhart and BJ's friend who it was only his second match ever. And they're going over. This is interesting. So we're all in the back, and they're trying to go over stuff. So Samu walks up to the new booty and goes, "All right, bro, look, man, I'm gonna put you in a top wrist lock, and we're gonna." And the guy's like, "What's a top wrist lock?" And he goes, "You don't know what a top wrist lock is?" And he goes, "Like, don't worry about it, bro. Don't worry." And he goes, "Okay, don't even worry about it, dude." They put this kid through the ringer. I mean, not beat him up, but just you know what I'm talking about, Michael Parks. When the Samoanos do a splash, there's no knees or elbows, bro. I mean, it's just body. So they were picking this kid up and they were slamming him, and then they tag off to the Pitbulls, and the Pitbulls were putting what's that slam that Davey Boy used to do where you put him on the show, then run, and then fuck at the last. So they put the heat on this kid and just completely. And when I saw them slam him and I saw Samu, first of all, they took us out to eat the night before, and we had Mexican food. So Samu took some home or to the hotel or whatever, and he warmed it up the next morning. And when I saw that, I said, man, you know, that it's Samoans. They can eat whatever. He got a stomachache, and he was not in a good mood. Because he was shitting, and so he was already in a bad mood, and that just so when he slammed that kid and went up to the third to do the splash, I'm going, dude, there is no knees or elbows, and I mean, dude, boy, you could see that ring go all the way down and come back up, or whatever. So they pick him up, he tags off to Neidhart. Neidhart gives Samu the clothesline, and they took it home. I mean, it was just Jim Neidhart literally did 10 seconds of work, and that was it. And it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. But it was cool because I got to kick it with the Pit. It was really nice to me because I was still, you know, pretty much a new Woody or whatever. But they were really cool with me. And then they had a lady that came to give you a massage. So if you had, like, that Tiger Bomb or whatever, she put it on you, you know, or whatever. So the Tonga kid, He brought his son, and his son didn't want to take his shirt off to get a massage. He's going, "Take your shirt off, man. Show him what you got, man." Okay. So then when I saw him at the Lucha Expo, I didn't know that that's Jacob Fatu. When we were talking, he goes, yeah, that's Jacob Fatu. And I go, shit, I go, he's a freaking monster. And he goes, yeah, so you feel stupid going, hey, I remember when you were a little kid, because you go, man, get the fuck out of here. So I didn't even say anything, but it was one of the funnest shows I've ever done. I mean, I got killed or whatever, but we had so much fun or whatever, but that was, you know, when I had interaction with them. So it was really cool. So I wanted to go, believe me, man, I wanted to go, but you have no idea what I've been through. And Mike, you know what's happening. I had to go to Sacramento, and it was a big mess or whatever. So, you know,
yeah.
Mike and I talk a lot about building a relationship with these wrestlers and workers and stuff like that. So, like, let's say you brought Greg Valentine and Brutus Beefcake and them down. So, you know, do you kind of pick them up and say, hey, bro, you know, we're talking about the guys from New Japan, like In-N-Out. They want to go eat In-N-Out Burger or whatever. Just say, hey, man, you know, whatever you want. Or do certain wrestlers, like when we went to go my daughter wanted to see Taya and Johnny Morrison, so we brought a bunch of beers and stuff in the ice chest and all that. And they were like, all right, bro, we don't get that much. So do you kind of ask them what they want or if they want anything or just bring them to sign? How does all that work?
Usually I pick them up or have somebody pick them up like a day before. And then, mm-hmm. you know, usually like they right after the airplane, they want to go to the hotel and relax.
Yeah.
And usually like maybe, you know, if they're hungry like in the afternoon or whatever, we usually have dinner. There's a nice steakhouse by the shop. It's called, I don't know if you heard of Steven's Steakhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we go there and, you know, we have dinner there. We know the owner, so we kind of just, you know, sit down and just have a good dinner, have a good, you know, we talk for hours. I think Brutus said that was the longest dinner he ever had because it was, you know, he was on Tampa time, so he was, yeah. You know. No, he was, but they were good, you know. And usually, I think we have like a few of them that we've had dinner there or, you know, lunch, and it's pretty good.
Well, they all have to have stories. I mean, there's nobody.
Oh,
that
yeah, definitely
on the road. Yeah. So, who, in your opinion, who had the most? Because we were talking about in the opening, we were talking about who he would actually stand in line, you know, to see or to get a signing or whatever, and we both said Ric Flair. But then it's like, if you bring Ric Flair for 2 hours, you know, and he signs for 2 hours, and you just happen to be on that bubble, and sorry, bro, we got to go. It's like, dude, I don't want that to happen. You know, has that ever happened with you?
I
know. Dude, I'm sorry, but I got to cut off the line?
No, that hasn't happened yet. I mean, we've gone over multiple times where we go over. I usually do my events 3 hours. So
yeah.
That gives us enough time, but there's been times where we go 4 hours.
Geez.
I've been lucky so far. Yeah, I've been lucky so far that they don't complain or anything. It's just like, hey, almost, but they don't get mad or anything. And then if we say, let's go to dinner right after, they're like, okay.
I'll tell you about what happened with us when that happened. But real quick for the people listeners, you're here, you're at WrestleBoss with Bobby Chula, and we're talking to Jimmy from Jimmy's World Order. If you want to go down and check out the shop, I highly recommend it. You go check it out. It's got a lot of cool stuff over there. It's at 936.5 South Atlantic Avenue. It's in East LA, California. Make sure you check it out. Jimmy, is there a phone or a website that they can check it out if they want to check out what you got going on?
Yeah, if they want to do the website or, you know, jimmysworldorder.com, either on Facebook or Instagram.
Uh-huh.
And let me see if I can – let me see if I remember the phone number. Cause even I don't remember the phone number. I think it's – geez. That's a good one.
You know what?
I'll give it out at the end.
When I was writing down the address, I didn't write the phone number down, so that was my bad, too. So I'll make sure and give it at the end of the show if you want to call, because I know you open, like, what, 11 o'clock or so in the afternoon, and you're open till what time?
7. It's 11 to 7, Monday through Saturday, and then Sundays it's 11 to 4.
11 to 4. Okay, perfect. Now, Mike and I have been in the business forever. And when I was first starting, when I was training with Pistol Pete, there was a guy that worked with us. His name was David Miranda. He wrestled as the Night Shadow. And he had a little show called Horror Kung Fu Theater and stuff. So when the NWO first started, you know, they were trying to get out there. Bischoff was trying to get his name out there, and they would do a lot of shows at the Forum. So they would use David's show as a vehicle to push, you know, their NWO merchandise and stuff like that. They used to flood us with all kinds. It was great when they first started. Once it took off, they completely cut us off or whatever. But that's how I got into the NWO. David's like, hey, bro, they sent me all this stuff. They just want us to go give it out. So we gave, you know, we gave a bunch of it out, and I thought it was really cool. But I only liked NWO Japan. I thought NWO Japan was so cool because you had, you know, Masahiro Chono and you had Muda and Scott Norton, which was a bad dude, man, you know, all those people. So I really, really liked it. Then it kind of went a little crazy because they started the Red Team and all this stuff like that. But yeah, I've always been a huge mark for NWO, especially for NWO Japan or whatever. So what is that what made you decide to make a Jimmy's World Order, or how did all that come about?
You know what, when I was deciding on the name, I was like, I've been the same, an NWO mark, you know, I've been hardcore fanatic of, you know, Scott Hall, Hulk Hogan, Kevin Nash, even X-Pac. So when I was trying to decide a name, you know, I was like, well, you know, I was at the hospital, and I was like, okay, so what name could I put, you know? So then I decided, well, why not incorporate the NWO, something that I love and I'm passionate about, into the store, you know? So I decided, okay, let me do Jimmy's World Order. You know, let me see if that works, you know? And now it's amazing now that I see people with my t-shirt, you know, that, you know, I just maybe made a few at first, and now I have to, like, do a lot. Now, you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, let me go to JWO or let me go to Jimmy's. And I'm like, oh, snap, that's me.
Yeah,
you know, it's just it's taking like how can I call it? It's taking like something, you know, bigger than me now.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it mushroomed into what it is now.
Yeah. So, but yeah, going back, you know, I'm a big NWO mark, and you know, just I Googled, make sure that nobody had the name and anything, you know, and I was lucky nobody had it, and you know, they would have put it out.
Yeah, and it worked. I mean, people talk, you got like a little click or whatever that just goes to, that's all they talk about is Jimmy's World Order, which is pretty cool because you bring so many good people. They're like, it seems like they're just waiting for it. All right, who's next? Damn, Darby Allin, just when we didn't think that he could top that or whatever. But real quick, Jimmy, I got to take a quick break. It's almost a 45, oh, it's past 45 minute mark. Let me take a quick break and we'll wrap it. A couple more questions I want to ask you. And then Mike, you and I got to finish up with talking about how they're saying Randy Orton and Kenny Omega are the best. So hang on real quick. Take a quick break. We'll be right back on this. Hold on, everybody.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution, bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at Lucha-Masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Yeah, talking to Jimmy from Jimmy's World Order, talking about bringing some people down. And, I think Darby Allin got so hot because when he first started doing those documentaries on the Vice Channel, he was like one of the first ones, and it just kind of snowballed from there. So he's going to be at Jimmy's World Order doing the signing. I think I believe that one's in August, right, Jimmy?
No, that one's actually in 2 weeks.
I got them mixed up. X-Pac coming in August.
Yeah, X-Pac is in August. I just booked that one last week. So I'm really excited about that one because we had Bischoff in January. So he was so happy and, you know, with the name and everything. And now we're bringing X-Pac. So it just,
That's pretty cool. That's kind of giving the people what they want or whatever. So I think that's going to work out. Now, real quick, but because I'm running up against the clock now, because, you know, I tell Mike, Mike comes on when we talk about the news and all, but I talk so much that he gets 5 minutes or whatever. And my wife is always like, "Why? You know, you talk so much. Why don't you give Mike?" And I'm like, "All right, I'm sorry. But anyways, you know, it was pretty cool to see you at the show. Do you get out to many independent shows or whatever? Because you're so busy with your shop, and it was pretty cool that we saw you at that show. So do you get to go to too many?
I'm starting to again go to more shows. I talk a lot to Ricardo, the promoter, and, you know, we kind of grew up in the same area, Boyle Heights. So it's kind of, you know, it feels good, you know, he helps me, I help him, you know, we kind of, you know, help each other promote and stuff like that. So, but that's really cool. But I do got to tell you something. This is my second event, and right now, so far, you're my favorite. I swear. You're like so good. I mean, I'm not even saying that just because you guys are like, you entertain me. You can't imagine how much you guys entertain me. And I was like, Ricardo, I need a picture with them. Because they are so good. Like, you know, when you guys came out, I started cheering so hard. I'm like, everybody was looking at me like, hey, they're the bad guys. So I'm like, I don't care. You know, I was like, damn, they're so... Because I seen you from the last time, and you, like, you know, you just gravitated towards me. Like, you know, like, I felt like your entertainment and everything. I was like, man, they're so good.
But... It's funny because, you know, I had retired. You know, I had my hip replaced and all that, and I said, you know, I can't do what I want. So it was actually De La O, the owner of that place, that said, look, why don't you have Jessica, Nicolette, bring out the flag and you know, carry the Mexican flag for you and all that. And she did, and then it just took off. You know, she started getting all these bookings and all that. And she said, well, can you come back and do your stuff so that I can get my stuff in and all that? And so we ended up – and at my age, I'm getting more work now than I did back in the day. But it's funny that you said that because, you know, it was a whole Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, that show, RJ's been real cool with me, and you know, we help each other out and stuff like that. But it was Memorial Day, and I had to take my wife. I dropped her off at my brother-in-law's, and you know how it is, man. They were having a barbecue, and they were by the pool, and we're like, man, we got to go to this show. So I was like, man, I got to go and all that. So, but then when I got there and I saw, you know, once you get there, it's a different story, man, because there's people, and there's like the lady that was in the front row. I mean, she comes to every show, and we go back and forth and all that, and she is the nicest lady, and you know, so then it just kicks it off, and we get going, and by the time I'm done, I'm like, I had such a good time, and I have so much fun interacting with the people and stuff like that. Well, here's the funny thing. These two kids come up to me, and they go, hey, can you take a picture? I'm like, yeah, take a picture. And they said, oh, yeah, something about Long Beach. And I go, you guys from Long Beach? And they go, yeah. I go, that's me. I go, I live in Long Beach. And they go, you do? And I go, yeah. I go, why does that surprise you? I go, oh, we thought you live like in Beverly Hills or Hollywood. I said, oh, my God. I said, you're some disillusioned young kids or whatever. But it's just funny because they think one thing, but little do they know or whatever. But I honestly had such a good time, and it's good to get out there and have fun. And then when people like Jimmy say, yeah, bro, I was entertained or whatever, that's what it's all about. That's what we do. That's you know, what it's all about, and getting them out there like that. So I was glad to see that you came, you know, to check it out. But we definitely want to make it out there to one of Jimmy World Order's signings and stuff like that, because it's cool, man. It's like Mike and I talk about all the time, building a relationship, you know, with people and, you know, getting it out there, because to me, wrestling and lucha is the best sport in the world. I mean, it's so much fun. I never made any money at it or whatever, but it didn't matter to me because I just had so much fun, and it's like a family. And then we get to meet people like Jimmy from Jimmy's World Order and stuff like that. It's truly awesome. I was glad that you came. My daughter, too. My daughter usually does the show with me, but she goes to school now, so she's not here on Tuesdays, which is good because now I can have Mike with me and we can keep going. So, Jimmy, we would definitely like to come down to Jimmy's World Order and check out one of those signings and stuff like that, and interact with the people and stuff like that. I'm definitely looking forward to checking that out.
Yeah, please do. I mean, I want you to, you know, like, just, like, come and, you know, shock them and just, you know, come out of, my thing, I already envision it. It's like you're going to come out of, you know, a door, and you're just going to start messing with people. And is it Nicolette?
Yes.
What is the name? Nicolette? Yeah, so both of you are going to start messing with people. They're going to be like, oh, what are you looking at? It's like, it's so funny. I could already see it. So it's like, I'm like, man, I'm like, maybe even for the Derby.
Yeah, perfect. And it's funny because back in the day when I was wrestling, I'd get these calls from promoters, and they go, hey, can you bring that comedy thing over here? And I'm like, well, man, I don't come with a stool and a microphone. I can wrestle, bro. Oh, yeah. Well, that too, but we just want you to come and do this and that or whatever. So, yes, and it was great. I met so many people and did so many things. You know, it was cool. And then it just continues today. I got to meet Jimmy, you know, and all that. And we're going to start working, doing some stuff over there at Jimmy's World Order. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. So real quick for the people, listeners, check out Jimmy's World Order. They got a lot of cool stuff over there. It's at 936.5 South Atlantic Avenue. It's in the city of East LA. Make sure you check it out. I'll make sure to give the phone number and the website and everything at the end of the show so you guys can come down and check it out. Jimmy, man, we look forward to coming down and checking you out. We appreciate you coming out to the show, man. It was great to see you. Mike, any last words for Jimmy before we let him get out of here?
No, you said everything.
Would you
actually,
real quick, Mike?
Actually, I can't wait to come down there.
Yeah, who would you like to see, Mike, to come down to Jimmy's?
Oh man, you put me on the spot.
well, would it be more of a lucha guy or more like that? Because I thought when he brought Fonzie and Sandman and them, I thought, man, that's pretty cool because that's people that, you know, interesting. Like you're like, oh man, that'd be interesting because to see him out of their element or whatever. So I thought that was somebody that was pretty cool to see out of there. Anybody like that, Mike? Or you just whoever? Well, I know you would like to go check out Darby Allin. And I would like to check out X-Pac or whatever, so I think that's pretty cool. But, well, what about who's – I know you don't want to, like, put anybody on the spot or whatever, but we went to go see Mecha Wolf and Bestia down at a different place where I can't remember where we went to go see him. But who's been, like, the most – like, where you just – like, you pull up and you just see a line all the way around the corner, and in your mind you're going, oh, my God, I hope I'm able to make sure everybody gets taken care of.
I think that's almost all the events that we've had. I mean, it's been, you know, we're still like in pandemic, but I think all of them have been like that because I have somebody like security outside and I see him coming in. Like, I'm like, is everything good? He's like, yeah. I'm like, are you sure? Are you sure? Breathe. You know, it's like, yeah. I just want to make sure everybody's, you know, taking care of, making sure everybody's good. I'm like, well, breathe. I'm like, and you know, I try to give them water or something because I know they're waiting for a long time. So I'm like, you know, make sure that, you know, they have something because I don't want them to be mad. I want them when they come in and I give them time. So I don't want like a rush meeting room, you know, I want something where they come in, ask a few questions, get a good picture and, you know, they get their money's worth, you know,
but you want it to be
I
a good
wanna,
experience,
you know,
man.
Of course. But I think all of them have been really good. Like, I think Mike was going to say something.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, bring Martha Villalobos.
Martha Villalobos?
I think
she's still around or whatever, but dude, when you want to talk about interesting, that would be interesting because that lady was legit crazy, man. So anyways, Jimmy, a million thank yous for coming on, man. We definitely look forward to coming and checking out Jimmy's World Order. Make sure if you want to go down, check it out. It's at 936.5 South Atlantic Avenue. It's in East LA. Make sure you check it out. We'll make sure we give all the information. If not, it'll be on our social media, and we'll make sure you get over there, pack that place because he's got some good stuff going on there. All right, Jimmy, man, we appreciate you coming on. We're going to see you real soon. All right, my friend?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Jimmy's World Order, make sure you check it out. Mike and I'll be right back after this. Jimmy, we'll see you soon. Hold on, everybody.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world and a place to have their voices heard from weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, It's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Yeah, how about that, Jamie's World Order, man? Got a lot of stuff going on over there. But for the people listening, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss with Fabi Chulo. Don't forget, back on Tuesdays, make sure you check us out. I got Michael Parks with me talking to Jimmy about bringing some people in and doing some signings and stuff like that. So I totally get it. But real quick, Mike, since we want to talk a little bit of news, I was watching NXT, believe it or not. And I was watching Karrion Kross and Adam Cole. Or whatever. So when I interviewed Karrion Kross at the first Lucha Expo, he was real guarded. You know, he was like, yeah, man, and this and that. He was real, what do you call it, you know? So when he was going back and forth with Adam Cole, Adam Cole's going, and you know what? Oh, I run this place and I do that. I wish that, you know, because he was real, Karrion Kross was real serious. I wish he would have like pulled a Steve Austin and say, you know what, man, I can't even take you serious because you look like you're 13 years old. Because it looked like a little kid talking to his dad. Karrion Kross was so big, you know, or whatever. And Adam Cole just looked small, like a little kid. And, you know, I can't take you. You look like you're 13 years old. All right, go get your toys and go home or something. You know, just to break it up, because they're always so, oh, look at me and I'm the champ and rah, rah, rah. You know what I mean? So it would have been nice for them to kind of, because you don't see that anymore. The last time I saw it was with Stone Cold. You know, he would make me laugh because he'd go, you know what, I'm looking in your beady little eyes and he'd go, what? Hold on, I'm looking at my watch. And he was with Taz and he goes, oh, doesn't speak Spanish. Anyways, and people were just, you know, caught off guard, and he would catch, and Taz was like at a loss for words or whatever. And it's just like I was telling you when Christian told Taz, man, I need you to get a ladder so I can see eye to eye. It was just stuff like that when he was catching him off guard. And that's what makes it great. You know, everybody's trying to be hard and blah, blah, blah. So that's what I say about Randy Orton. He comes out and look at me, and he's slow, and I'll kill you, and I'm a snake. And get out of here with that, man. Let's get somebody in there who I wish somebody would do that, put him in his place, you know, say, hey, man, you know, the only reason you're here is because of your dad, or, you know, what's up with throwing the arms up in the air? We don't get the airing out your deodorant, you know, what's happening, or something like that, just to kind of put him in his place. And when we were talking about that, it was funny because Nicolette and I were talking about that on the way to the show. I go, you know, I just don't get why they're saying, how they can say Kenny Omega and Randy Orton are, you know, the top, because you could do Kenny Omega is already a champion in Mexico and in Japan. You send Randy Orton to Mexico, he's going to be lost. It'll be punch and kick fest 2021. You send him to Japan, there's a chance you could see a death in the ring, because they will knock his head off out there. And then he's just going to start getting mad and potato, and it's just going to become a brawl, and it's going to become a big mess. I mean, would you agree or what?
Yeah, I mean, he has to get a little bit better, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can. Honestly, I don't know if he can. He's stuck in his ways. You know what I mean?
There's just there's no personality. It's just, you know, look at me, and I don't get it. I just don't get it. And then you have somebody that's different, like Bray Wyatt, and they make him into a cartoon character, and then they kind of get rid of him. I don't know what they're going for. Since Steve Austin has retired, I have yet to see somebody who could keep me, you know, entertained and wanting to watch it and say, hey, man, I want to see what this guy's going to do next. Because he was, you know, when you take a Zamboni and forget how to hit the brakes and slam into the ring and knock it over about 6 inches, that was funny. That's just, you know, it's just stuff like that that was just, you know, you never knew what he was going to do next. So it's just, and then with Kenny, he was such a bad dude, man. I mean, he was in shape. He could take on anybody. In Japan, he was the man. I thought the first time I ever thought there was going to be a death in the ring is when him and Kota Ibushi wrestled the Young Bucks. I mean, that, you were there, Mike. That show had us on the edge of our seats. And, you know, what happened? Do you think he's getting complacent or whatever with where he's at?
To call him one of the best in the world right now.
Yeah.
I mean, You beat Rich Swann, and I'm not down. Rich Swann's a good. Yeah. But come on.
But
how is he wanting to?
If you go back to Japan and beat somebody like Jeff Cobb, or put on a match with Jeff Cobb, that dude's a killer, man. That dude is badass, you know, or whatever. And then even the you know who speaks their mind a lot is Tama Tonga and the Gorillas of Destiny. I mean, they'll tell him to his face, you know. Bullet Club, a ni madre, wey, we're still here. You're out there, or whatever. And they told off somebody else the other day in one of their promos. They go, you know, man, we've been here 3 weeks wrestling every day. They go, you've been home sitting there getting a paycheck and not doing shit. So don't. And I'm like, dude, these dudes are serious, you know, or whatever. So you know, there's competition out there. Yeah, there's competition. And then speaking to that, the New Japan Dominion is coming up. And you're going to have Okada against Shingo, who was, you know, with the Los Invernables and all that. That's a good matchup. And then Jeff Cobb is going to be wrestling Kota Ibushi on that show. That, dude, see, that's a matchup and a half. And then Desperado is going to be defending the Cruiserweight belt against Yo from, you know, Show and Yo or whatever. So, I mean, just those three matches right there, dude, I would pay to see that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, a question. Who do you think they're going to put the belt on since Ospreay's hurt?
I really think they should give Jeff Cobb a push because he can go with anybody. He can go, you know, toe to toe with those big dudes, or he can drop you on your head if you put one of them little dudes like Will Ospreay in there or Marty Scurll or whatever. So I mean, I think if they put that belt on Jeff Cobb, he could get him to the promised land. I mean, what do you think? We've seen him in person.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Cobb is tough.
Yeah,
I think put it on Shingo right now.
Well, since they cross promote, right? If you put that belt on Jeff Cobb and you bring Brody King from Ring of Honor, you know, to do like a run in or something like that, dude, that would be huge. You know, and then bring like Bandito, Rey Horus, and Flamita to wrestle whoever Show and Yo, or even what's the Juice Robinson and those guys. You know, cross promote that way, dude. That would blow the roof off that place. You know, so that's what I think. I mean, it's time, bro. The pandemic is over. Let's get them guys going, man. Put some shows on out there. Would you pay to see that? Brody King against Jeff Cobb and then bring Flamita and them to wrestle Show and Yo or whatever? Dude, I'd definitely pay to see that. Yeah, at least $5.
Yeah.
So, New Japan, if you're listening, I'm gonna call Rocky tomorrow and tell him to set that up or something, because that would be huge or whatever. So, and the pandemic after June 15th or whatever, they should be able to fly him out there and do that. So let's do that. But anyways, real quick before we get out of here, Mike, you know, before we had the match, you know, the show Sunday, you have a big meeting, and it was Vito and RJ, and they're saying, hey, you know, we appreciate everybody being here, blah blah blah. You know, what we are trying to do here is, you know, get this thing going. But, you know, a lot of these guys want to come and do the show. And hold on a second. I'm sorry. Something came up on my screen here. And you know, we really would like you guys to help, you know, not just come and get a payday, but promote this thing and get it out there, even if it means passing flyers or whatever, you know, because the more people we get here, the more exposure you're going to get, and that's going to benefit everybody. And I'm like, absolutely. So out of that whole, I mean, how many wrestlers were there, Mike? Probably, I would say, what, maybe 15 or 16 wrestlers out there or whatever?
Yeah.
Out of all those wrestlers, there was only one wrestler that came on the podcast, and that was Jay Vidal. And he came on, and we talked, and I told him, I said, hey, man, you know, I see money when I see this dude. He's got a look. He can work. You know, he knows how to work the crowd. He's got a good following. So I told him, I said, and he, you know, some people I call and I go, hey, well, come on the podcast. We'll promote you. I'm busy. Oh, I can't. I can't. No problem, dude. If you don't want to come on, I call JV Doll. Absolutely, bro. If I can get my name out there, if I get on your show and 20 people listen, but two people buy a ticket, that's two people they wouldn't have. So I'm totally down. And I'm like, this kid gets it. He gets it. So
exactly.
So JV Doll, when we went, and I said it in the meeting, I said, he's the only kid that came on. He's the only one that you know, helped promote this show. Not only that, we out of our pocket, Nicolette and I, we gave him a little bit extra cash, and WrestleBoss shirt is a new, you know, because it's Pride Week or whatever, a rainbow one,
right,
that he was like, dude, this is awesome. And it's funny because Nicholas like, well, we need good male models, you know, to take pictures, and we think you would be perfect. He's like, absolutely, bro. So he puts it on. So this is what I'm saying. What you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. So JV Doll, you know, big ups to you for taking the time to come out. I think you're going to go places. So real quick, Mike, before we get out of here, one last question. I see mm-hmm. JV Doll. I think he's money. I see Ricky Starks. I think that guy's money. I think we could do stuff with them or whatever. Real quick, anybody out there right now that you see, you go, man, that dude is money, and I think he's going to make it. Sonny Kiss, I see Sonny Kiss, and I'm like, man, I could make so much money with that. I mean, the whole gimmick, everything, I see it. Anybody in particular right now that stands out to you besides those people I mentioned?
Not really. I'm still looking
mm-hmm.
for you know, like I said, I like the Cartwheel.
Yeah.
I like him. I think that, you know, put in the right situation, you know, he's money.
Yeah.
He's money.
Yeah.
You know, we always say get him the right dance partner.
Yeah,
and
he's going to put on a show.
They can blow the roof off.
I agree. 100%, man. And you can put him with anybody. You can put him with a lucha guy. You can put him with American, Japanese, whatever, and it's going to mix well and do well. I think he's headed for good things or whatever. He's a good kid, too. And they're still young. He hasn't been hardened by the system yet. So he's still
good.
Pretty cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm glad to hear that.
All right, Mike, before we get out of here, anything new with your company? Got any news for us or whatever? I know you're still working on trying to get that first show under your belt or whatever. What do you got going on?
I'm just waiting until June 15th so I can solidify the venue, and then you and I could talk about putting everything else, pen to paper, putting everything else together.
Okay.
And finding a date.
Okay, well, as soon as you have everything set in stone, we'll make sure and promote it on here. It's good that you kind of get out to these shows and see people like JV Doll and Jack Cartwheel, because when you do your show, hey, man, what's it going to take? Let's get you out here or whatever. So, see, this is what I'm talking about. You go out, you see these guys, you kind of know what, if I put him against this person, it's going to work. So that's why that's the key to success, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, all right, Mike. Hey, man.
You know,
even though I only let you get, two words in here and there, I appreciate you coming on. So, well, definitely one of these days, dude. Don't ask me when, but when I'm gonna let you have at least 15, 20 minutes so you can talk about whatever you're talking about without me going on and on. You go, yeah, and then hey, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Don't promise me nothing, man.
All right, Mike. I'll see you soon. For everybody here, we'll see everybody next Tuesday. Make sure you come check us out from 7 till about 8:15, 8:30. Michael Parks, I'll talk to you soon. As soon as we get everything set and all that, we'll make sure we promote it, get that stuff out there. All right, my man?
All right, brother.
All right. I'll see you next
week.
Or actually, I'll talk to you soon, and then we'll see you next week. All right, my man. Hey, don't forget, we've got to go check out Steelcraft or Bixby Joe's or whatever. How about that?
I'm down.
I'll have to buy it for you or whatever, since you got shorted, you know, when you're buying tickets and stuff. But that's another story. We'll talk about that later.
Hey, leave it alone. Leave it alone.
All right, man. I'll see you soon. Right. For the people listening, we'll see everybody next Tuesday. All right, man. I'll talk to you.
Lucha-Mask.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Mask.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-mask.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.